Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Sabrina Williams. I'm your host for Rolling with the Diva. For some reason, our little radio introduction didn't come on. How are y'all today? It is 112 degrees in Las Vegas, Nevada. 1 degree less than last week. It was 113 last week. So we're bringing up the studio. We have our special guest today, Dr. Linda Morbeck, and she'll actually have to say her name for you guys. But we want to thank you for Rolling with the Diva. It's a great day. We are, I have to be honest with y'all, I am not in a good mood today. So the show will, we're going to cheer me up, and I will change my attitude. And I just want you guys to know that sometimes when you're not in a good mood, you still have to do what you want to do. You still have to do things you don't want to do because you just have to. And I'm going to tell you guys, my kids are on my nerve. I have a 20-year-old and an 18-year-old. And let me tell you guys something. You think life gets easier as they get older? Oh, my God, no. Can I have them back when they were like 3 and 5 and then I can go take a nap? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
I feel better about myself now. Hi, Dr. Linda.
When life was simple. When life was simple. Yes.
Okay, I'm telling you. They are. You understand what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah, I know. When they're young, you worry about keeping them clean, keeping them warm, keeping them safe, keeping them fed. And then they discover that you have things like debit cards and credit cards and car keys. Oh, my goodness. Here we go.
Okay. Now I'm feeling a little bit better because somebody feels my pain. I'm telling you right now, I want to wrap my neck around them and choke them because they are just my 18-year-old.
I know.
I will tell you guys, he did, you know, I will be honest. Actually, first, Dr. Linda, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on and sharing your newest book with us, Maxine's New Job. And we also, you have wrote another book before that, Stations. Dr. Linda is an amazing, she's known as a hair doctor, and also she's a great author, and she is just, I've known her for several years now. I think we've met through Joshua Banks, but this lady, I follow her, I watch her, and she's an honor to know. So welcome, Dr. Linda.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. So I have to tell you guys, before we get into the book, my 18-year-old, you know, I'm going to be honest, because I like keeping it real, because sometimes people always say you have the perfect kids and everything. My kids are not perfect. Let me be honest with you guys. My 18-year-old, even though he got all the training and the right thing to do in life, he decided last week that he was going to do his own thing, go to a party that he shouldn't have been at, and did things that teenagers do. And you know, I at first was questioning myself, am I a bad parent? Did I do something wrong? No, I did what I did as a parent and raised him to the best of my ability. And what I realized is you can only do so much for your child. You have to let them take responsibility for themselves.
That's right.
And allow them to have consequences, because that's the only way that they're going to learn.
That's right. That's right. And you can't save them from everything. Even before my mother passed, she was telling me that about my daughter. She said, I tried so hard to save your daughter, you know, my daughter, which is her granddaughter, and I said, Mama, you can't save them from anything. A very few things you can warn them about, but you can't save them from anything. That's the way they learn. That's the way they learn.
Yep.
And sometimes they have to bump their head several times. After it gets bumped a few times, it's like, oh, okay, now I get it. Now I see what Mama was talking about. They're just young.
And
you know what they say, youth is wasted on the young. Isn't that true?
Okay. It's the truth. Amen. Amen. You know, it's just like, I'm like, oh, my God. But I'm thinking to myself, well, I wasn't like this because at 18 years old, I had 3 or 4 jobs. I was taking care of my siblings. And mind you, I'm proud of my sons because they both work. But it's just that, you know, I'm thinking in a way, you know, even though being a single mom, I've spoiled them. So I had to reevaluate over the weekend, and I literally had to lay down the law on certain things. You guys, You're claiming to be adults. You're going. This is adult consequences. These are adult things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to play with you guys anymore. I have done the best that I can, but I am not allowing you guys to make me feel guilty for anything. You guys need to do your own thing, and you guys need to understand. At the end of the day, I'm turning 54 in July. Come 56, I don't know where y'all going to be, but I'm going to be on some cruise ship for 45 days. Okay? You guys do what you need to do. I'm telling you.
This is too funny, but it's true. It's true. It's true.
I'm not scared. I'm done.
I know.
You know what, my mom worked herself, and I guess this is what I want everybody to know. Parents, you can only do so much. When you have grown kids and you're at the age where I just retired, you have to go on with your life because I don't want to be like my mom where you put yourself in a grave for your kids. And then you can't do anything. And I'm not going to do that. I love my kids. But I'm here to tell you guys, you know what? This weekend I was able to get, I think probably because Dr. Linda was coming on, but I think also because I'm just getting down with my life. I'm getting down with it, literally. And I've been riding all weekend, doing a whole bunch of things, and I'm just telling you guys, when you're after 50, you still have to live. Your kids
will
be okay.
Yeah, you do.
And you know what? Even if they're not, they'll still be okay.
They will. They will.
One of the things too, Sabrina,
is that sometimes women, because we're caregivers, sometimes we have to get totally, completely mad at everybody before we do something for ourselves. I don't know what it is about us. We have to get completely fed up, mad about everything, and then you say, okay, this is it. Then you put your foot down. Then you take care of yourself a little bit better, a little bit better. Sometimes we never go all the way. We still get hesitant. Well, you know, maybe I shouldn't buy that. Maybe I don't need that. I'm sorry, but you've earned it by this time. You've earned it. You deserve it.
Yep.
You really do.
And that's the truth. And you know what? Wow. Now I feel better. Thank you, Dr. Linda, because you know what? I'll be serious. My kids may be looking at me like I'm crazy now. The last, like, 48 hours, I'm not playing. You have 2 years and about 12 days, and I'll be 54. That's, nobody gives you that much warning. You're on your own.
Right.
I'm going to be on a cruise ship for 45 days. Don't call me, and I won't call you. Leave me alone. I'm going on vacation. And
that's
y'all
right.
need to be okay. And that's it. And because you know what? I did realize. I got so mad. Let me be honest. I got so mad with everybody. Dr. Linda, you're wise. 2 weekends ago, remember when I posted my pictures from Kingman, Arizona?
Right.
I drove. I was pissed. I was already done with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove and drove and drove and drove. And I was like, you know what? I'm done now.
I could tell. I said, she's driving. She's working some things out because she's doing, when you do that much driving like that, it's like it's almost like it's stress relief. That's what it is, stress relief. You are relieving yourself. Like, let me just pull away from all of these boogers before I hurt somebody and go to jail. I already know.
But you have to get mad to do.
Why do we have to get upset in order to take action? That is so crazy. But women, we are guilty of that. We are.
Oh, we are. And you know what? And the thing is, I said this weekend coming up, I'm not driving because I'm mad. I'm driving because I just want to. I'm going down to the beach. I don't care what other people do. I am not cooking 6 meals for anybody before I leave.
Nope.
I'm not cleaning anything up before I leave. Y'all give me to be okay. You will be okay.
Yeah.
And you will. Because the thing is, if you're telling me you're adults, then I need to treat
mm-hmm.
you as adults. Bye.
You're right.
Go ahead.
And sometimes, Sabrina, we slip into habits. We don't understand. We don't even know what we're doing. I worked with a guy years ago. I used to work at the post office before I became a teacher. He said, Linda, I went home one day, and my wife was cooking they had three boys. She was cooking three types of meat. He said, he asked his wife, he said, what are you doing? She said, well, this one wanted chicken, and the other one wanted a steak, and the other one wanted a pork chop. He said, don't you ever let me come home and catch you doing this again. You cook one meal, you cook one meat, they either eat it or they starve. He said, I did not realize she was catering to them like that, but when I walked in, I saw it. And he said, what are you doing? Can you imagine that? Three teenagers, and you're preparing three types of meat.
Oh, my God. I have to say, I'm guilty of that because lately, my 18 or 24 I'm guilty of that. And now I'm just talking to you, because even on the last weekend, I said, I'm stopping it. I'm going to buy the meat that I want in the house, the chicken and the fish. Y'all both have jobs.
Yeah.
If you guys don't want to eat that, then go buy your own.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
Ridiculous. Because I'm not going to sit up here like this kind of food. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Cause in, and you know, in our day, our mama cooked food in front of us, and you ate it or you starved.
Are you starved? And he told his wife, he said, do you know you are treating them like they're ordering from a restaurant? This is not a restaurant, guys. This is your home. This is your mother. This is the meal for today. This is not a restaurant where you pick up a, you know, a menu and you say, I want this, but I don't want that. I'll take this. He said, no. He said, I stopped her that day when I realized what she was doing. He said, I don't want to see this ever again. It's not fair to you, and it's not fair to them. It's not for, he said, they're young men. They don't need to act like this in a home. He said his wife did not even realize. She said, I didn't realize. He said, no, I know you didn't. That's why I'm telling you, don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do that. But we love them, and we want them to be happy. We want everybody to be happy. We do.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you. Who knows why things happen, but I'm going to tell you guys, and everybody knows me, there is no coincidence. Why was the one day that I would just say, I'm not in a good mood and doing the show, and Dr. Linda gives me wise words? My headache is almost gone. I'm breathing. Thank you, God. Because God, there's no coincidence. God puts everybody on the show for a reason.
That's true.
He knew.
That's true.
And I really appreciate you, Dr. Linda, because I'm like, okay, I'm going to run away again today. But I'm like, no, I'm not. And you know what? I really appreciate you, because I've been really reading my Bible and really reading the book of Jeremiah on Jeremiah 29:11. God knows the plans that He has for you, and I know my plan. God's plan is for me is to keep doing radio and to take my show on the road and enjoy life and enjoy people.
That's right. Be nice to yourself.
And you know what, ladies, especially ladies who are going to hear the show, say it again, Dr. Linda.
I can't hear you.
Say that again. Be nice to your what?
Be nice to yourself. You're going to have to. You're going to have to. What happens, Sabrina, and I know we'll get back to my book later. I can talk about that in 5 minutes. What happens to you and all of us? I have seen females my age, your age, you're much younger than me. I have seen us seen women grow old, and this happens to men too. As you get older, you have regrets. And then I've seen some people, they pass the regret stage, and then they get mad. The word, and then it turns into word bitter. Am I making sense? I have seen some bitter, older people because they are mad about what they should have done and they didn't do it. It makes them mean-spirited. They hate everybody. They don't like anybody young. And it's not that they don't like anybody young. They're looking at that person thinking about some things I should have done earlier, I should have done sooner. And in some cases, it's still not too late, but they don't have enough will to go ahead, you know, and just go through it. They're not going to do it. So they sit and they get madder and madder, and it's not right. It's not good to be old and resentful and bitter. It's not good. It's not good for you mentally. It's not good. No,
because
it's not.
Because you know what? You impact. And that's a good point, because maybe you're a grandparent and you're taking care of your grandchildren. That negativity is going to flow onto them. And then they're going to be treating people with a certain way. And so it just all flows. It's like a rock that you throw in the water. It's a ripple effect. And you know what? Today, and I'm going to be honest, I usually am not like, will not tell people like when I'm upset. And I just felt like, you know what, today I need to let the listeners know, I'm upset with my kids.
We all have kids. We have in-laws, outlaws. We all have relatives that rub us the wrong way, or they push us too far, or we allow them to go too far with us, and then we fight back. But like I said, you have to get really completely fed up sometimes to even take action, because we've been what's my word? We have been socialized. We've been groomed to be tolerant. Understanding, and I think my big word is the A word, accommodating. We are so accommodating to so many people. We are very accommodating.
And you know what? Oh my gosh. No, keep going. Your words are so wonderful.
And what happens is, I think sometimes it happens to you in phases where you say, okay, I need to do a little bit more of this. I had a friend that told me years ago, too, when I worked on another job. She said, what I do, Linda, every payday, I buy one thing for myself. It's not a big expensive thing. She said, but I buy one thing for myself that has nothing to do with anybody else in my house. It may be a tube of lipstick. It may be some cologne. I said, every payday, she said, every payday, buy something for yourself that has nothing to do with anybody else. No, not parents, kids, stepkids, outlaws, in-laws. It has nothing to do with them. It has only to do with you. She said, even if it's something small, I go and buy it for myself, and nobody can use it except me. I said, wow, I never thought about that. Something
you're taking
tiny.
Care of yourself. You're taking care
yeah.
of yourself, and you're putting
right,
yourself
right.
forward, not in a selfish way. Because if you don't take care of yourself, as I'm listening and I'm going back to all the times I've been when I've helped people, tell them if you can't take care of yourself, how can you even take care of somebody else mentally?
That's true. That's true. You can't
how
do
can
it.
You? And so you know
you can't
what
do
the
it.
Thing for me. The thing for me, I just have to realize. You know what? I have to keep taking care of myself, but at the same time, I have to understand that adults are adults, and I love my children, and I love the people around me. Because, but you know what? It's the boundary thing. You're that word accommodating. The A word is so right. We're so accommodating. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but sometimes you're hurting their feelings when you explode. Does that make sense?
Right. And another thing, sometimes some of us that are very giving have a very giving spirit. We want everybody to love you. We want everybody to like us. Everybody's not going to like you. Even your kids sometimes don't like you. Sometimes we don't like them at all. But we got this thing. We want everybody to like us or love us. I'm sorry. That's not normal. We don't live in a perfect world. There are some days you cannot stand anybody you're related to. You hate them all. You hate them all. And the next day, you're fine. But for that 24-hour period, it's like, get away from me. Get away from me. I don't care if you like me today or not. I think we need more days like this sometimes to keep us balanced. You have to keep yourself find ways to keep yourself balanced.
Amen on that. I like that. Because, you know, it's the truth. We're not. And I'm guilty of that. I have to be honest. I'm guilty of wanting to please everybody and everybody like me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm slowly coming to the opinion that everybody, you're right, everybody's not going to like you.
They're not going to like you
all the time. And the minute that you're not doing something anyway, they're going to be the first one to tell you where you wouldn't probably say anything to them. They'll be the first one to tell you, you did this, and this, but I don't like this, and this. So, you know, it's about balance, and it's about, you know what, having others respect your boundaries because you're respecting theirs. Wow. You know what? You're on the air with Rolling with the Diva and Dr. Linda, and we're just talking about life. And now we're going to talk to Dr. Linda about her book. And Dr. Linda, your book that your newest book that you wrote, Maxine Has
mm-hmm.
a Job. Why did you write that?
I was a special ed teacher for years. I worked with special kids, and I worked with regular, you know, general ed. But I was also a special ed teacher, and for 15 years I taught ESL. At the community college here. And there was a situation where there's a condition called dyslexia, and I know you've heard about it.
Yes.
Where people, you'd be surprised how many people in this country cannot read. They don't have the ability to read. They know how to make a living. They pay their bills on time. But they cannot read, and you will never, ever know, because they find ways to compensate. Like if you're at a job sometimes and somebody will say, you know what, Sabrina, I am so tired. We got a notice from the front office. Why don't you read that to me? Girl, I'm just too tired to read it. And you just sit there and you go over it and you discuss it. Or something comes up in the meeting and you say, you know what, I don't feel like it today. I got a migraine. Why don't you just tell me what I need to do and let me do it? I don't even feel like reading it. They have ways to get around it for years. There are some people that you have worked with, maybe not on your last job, But a few years ago, they could not read, Sabrina, but you never knew. You never knew. People find ways to, we all find ways to cover up what we're weak in, whether you are a reader or a non-reader or there's another problem. We find ways to do that. And so I wrote this book about a young girl who could not figure out what was wrong with her neighbor. She told her mother, she said, there's something wrong with Miss Sullivan. I think she's hiding something. She said, oh, come on, Maxine. What? She says, you know, she just acts strange when I talk to her. I told her that I wanted her and Mr. Sullivan to come to open house because I'm going to stand there and welcome everyone who comes to see the school. I left the paperwork over there, and every time I try to talk to her about it, she acts strange. She said, well, Maxine, you know what? I've talked to you about this. You ask too many doggone questions. Well, yeah, Mom, but you're not supposed to act like that when you're just talking to somebody. She said, look, people sometimes when you're talking to them, they have other things on their mind. They're looking at you, but they're talking, but they're thinking about something else. She says, all people do that. She says, I do it with you from time to time. She says, but you know what? Why don't you just think about being a detective or a forensic scientist? She said, okay. So she went to the library, and she did some reading about it. And the next day she went back by. She says, Mrs. Sullivan, did you read the announcement? She says, no, why don't you just read that to me? That's when Mrs. Sullivan breaks down, and she says, Maxine, I'm so sorry. I'm so embarrassed. I can't read. And so she talks about what it's like not being able to read. She says, I will never have a driver's license. I will never be able to vote. There are things that you do I will never be able to do. She said, I dropped out of school. I came from a small town. I dropped out of school where nobody cared because it was a little country town. I married my husband early. He takes care of me, but he doesn't have time because he works all the time. So she tells Mrs. Sullivan, she said, don't worry about it. I'm going to teach you how to read, Mrs. Sullivan. So she goes home and tells her mother, she says, Mrs. Sullivan can't read, Mom. Do you mind if she comes over here on Tuesdays and we sit together? She says, no, Maxine, that's wonderful. She said, you are a detective. She says, what do you mean, Mom? She says, well, you identified a problem. You had the symptoms. You had all the clues, and then you solved it. And she says, Maxine, that's your new job. So Maxine's new job is teaching her neighbor how to read.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what? And that's awesome because, you know what, I like how you helped her, like, you identified the helped her, like, steps. And it's like steps mm-hmm. to getting to know somebody. Like, you find out their name. But then you don't just mm-hmm. leave them and think that they're just trying to be mean. You're actually, to me, you're saying putting more care into a person than people do these days. We need to go back to that old time of, hey, you know what, I care about you. I want to know what's going on.
Right.
Really, truly.
Right.
Mrs. Sullivan was able to feel Maxine cared and was able to share the truth with her. And I think that sometimes that's why people are so lost, it seems, more now in the last 15, 20 years, because everybody doesn't seem to have that caring that our generation
mm-hmm.
was taught. Does that make sense?
I want to read this part to you about Maxine's life.
Sure.
It was a warm, bright Sunday morning and a special time for the Hills. Once a month on Sundays, the Hill family spent 4 hours at the Helping Hands food pantry. Max asked her parents several important questions after watching a homeless family stand on a corner last year. That's when Mr. and Mrs. Hill decided that Max needed to learn how community agencies serve people in need. The Hills contacted the pantry and made arrangements for the family to volunteer 1 day per month. Maxine enjoyed the community service hours, and her job was filling each family meal box with a can of green beans and cereal. Mr. and Mrs. Hill worked in the pantry. Max, when a person needs help, you do what you can for them with what you have or what you know. Never forget that, said Mrs. Hill. Okay, Mom, I will never forget. So when Mrs. Sullivan is crying, she tells her, she said, Mama told me that I needed to help somebody with what I know or what I have. And she says, oh, my goodness, no one has ever helped me with my problem except my husband, but he works all the time. So Maxine and Mrs. Sullivan hugged each other And Maxine walked back to the house and talked to her cat. Her cat's name is Amos. She says, Amos, I have a lot to do. So when her mother came home, she says, Mom, I have a lot to do. I'm going to teach her to read like I was taught to read in school. So she has a list. She says, I need to make flashcards for words with or without pictures. I need to teach rhyming words like loose, juice, and moose. I need to demonstrate how to sound out word families like seal, heel, reel, and meal. She said, number four, we're going to do three-word sentences first and then longer sentences later. And number five, Mrs. Sullivan will practice reading simple stories to me when she can read four-word sentences. Number six, we need to go to the library and check out some taped stories. Number seven, I'm going to show her how to use the closed caption strategy used by Mrs. Johnson. And this is something that I copied this from doing something from teaching special ed, Sabrina. You turn on the TV.
Yes.
This is good for kids who are also deaf. You turn on the TV. You turn down the volume, and you use the closed caption button so that the printed conversation is seen by the viewer. As the actor speaks, the sentences form in the dialogue box. Anybody you know that has trouble reading right now, they need to leave the TV on all day. And this is good for kids who are ESL students. You always leave the TV or the radio on. But if you have the TV on, you make sure that the closed caption thing is there. So while they're speaking English, the words are running across the screen at the bottom. Number eight, the dyslexia kids at schools use a digital reading pen that scans the text from a page, places it on the computer screen, and reads the words to the viewer. So I will check online to see how much the pens cost. And Mrs. Hill says, Mom, I'm going to teach my neighbor how to read. And she says, I am so proud of you. You are practicing community service by filling a need, and you found a way to help someone with what you know, and she lives next door. And she says, don't forget, Max, after Mrs. Hill discusses her challenge with you, you created a solution. Case closed, Detective Maxine Hill. You're going to enjoy your new job as a reading tutor, Mrs. Hill said with excitement. Maxine smiled as she continued working on her reading materials list for Mrs. Sullivan. Yes, thought Maxine, I really have a new job. Maxine looked out of the window and thought, wow, I think I should talk to my teacher again about what it takes to become a forensic scientist or a detective. Solving problems is exciting. The end.
Wow, I love that. Did you like this story?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Couldn't figure out why is this lady acting so strange when I talked to her. She was always uneasy. One day she brought the mail and gave it to her. She says, why is she giving me this mail for James Coleman on Sherman Street? This is not James Coleman. We don't live on Sherman Street. She said, oh, Maxine, I guess I was in a hurry. I thought it belonged to you. That's when Maxine got suspicious. She said, there is something wrong with this lady. She had no idea the woman could not read. But, Sabrina, you would be surprised at the people in this country who cannot read, and they have found ways to skate around it or to make it work. Now some of the big time rollers like Tom Cruise, Whoopi Goldberg, some of them will tell you, oh, I don't read. Well, see, they don't have to know how to read. They have handlers. They have a full staff.
Whoopi Goldberg don't know how to read?
She has dyslexia. She says she has dyslexia. She could probably do a few more sentences in a word. She says she has it. Tom Cruise also says he has it. And you say, how can you have dyslexia and have a role? Because you got to have a script. But you remember, these people have a full staff. You see what I'm saying? To help them, they have handlers. They have dressing assistants. They don't even have to figure out what they're going to put on. Somebody cooks their food. Somebody serves the food. So when you do have a learning disability, and that's what dyslexia is, it's a learning disability. You have other, if you're a high roller, if you're rich, if you're wealthy, you have people to take care of things like that for you. I was told about a law student years ago at SMU, but his family was wealthy. So he had a tutor to follow him all the way through law school, but this guy had a memory that, you know, that you could buy, you want to buy for. Whatever you read to him, he remembered, but he could not read. But he could remember anything. So this guy went all the way through law school with him as a private tutor. You can see how things happen if you have the money. If not, then you've got to get someone to work with you one-on-one. There's this pen that I told you about. You can buy it online. And when you take it and scan the words on the page, the pen will read it to you. It's built in. It has a microphone that's built in. There are computer programs now. You know that. Then they will read the text for you. So it's not as rough as it used to be, but still, people still have this condition called dyslexia. That's when the printed word has no meaning for you at all. It has no meaning. You may know a few sight words. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But as far as reading directions, reading a prescription, you cannot do that. Someone else has to do that for you. So that's
wow.
why I wrote the book. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what's funny? Because I have a friend named TJ, his dad's name's Scott.
Mm-hmm.
We met at a community place where they, you know, farmer's market. And so
right.
we originally met at Holly's Tuppa, and he was there one day doing math. And to me, I just talked to everybody. So I saw him doing math, and I just went up to his dad, and I said, "Hey, I see you guys doing math." And his dad said, "You know math?" And at this one time, I said, "Yeah." And so then we just started talking about that the school missed the total time that he had dyslexia, and they didn't test him. They just called him stupid. Long story short,
uh-huh.
the dad pulled him out. He's an adult ed, but he's doing really good. He only has one more class to graduate. The other day,
mm-hmm.
I had an opportunity to help tutor him in math, and I was tutoring for one day, and then my son Elisha did the other day, and my son Elisha broke it down better for him. But the one thing that he kept saying was, "I'm not good at this," and I said, "You know what? You are good at this. It's just that
mm-hmm.
you know what? People can catch certain things, but now everybody's here to help you." And it's funny because the way that my son, I thought this was the most excellent way that my son taught him to understand, because TJ goes by, if you give him, what is it, a word association. So the common denominator. So he said this, angels and demons. Angels are on top of the fraction and demons are on the bottom, and this is what you divide
okay.
by. And I thought,
okay.
and all of a sudden, that even clicked in my head. And TJ, mind you, I had been helping TJ before, and we both were doing the old school math, not the new school, but the way that
right.
Eli taught him about the angels and demons, he met his need exactly where it was and knew
mm-hmm.
from talking to him
mm-hmm.
what he needed. And TJ is taking the test tomorrow, and he is very excited about this because he knows
right.
that he can do it. And I think that, you know what? Just like Maxine, we all have an obligation in life. If we come across somebody and they,
mm-hmm.
and we have a need, maybe we can't give them the money, but we can help them get to a library. We
right,
can get them,
right.
You know, say that they have social service needs. We can call 211
mm-hmm.
if you're in the United States, 1311 in Romania. And oh, don't ask me why I know Romania's social service. It's a long story, and I'm not telling that story, but I know it. But for 211 in this state, there's many resources for people, even
right.
for referral
mm-hmm.
for dyslexia. And I know it's a shame thing that people put on people, like, you should be ashamed that you don't know how to read or you didn't say anything. You know what? They don't. There's no shame blaming here. The fact
is,
we meet the needs. And Dr. Linda, you guys, all you got to do is listen to this, buy her book, and that would be a great story even for adults to read, to learn and to feel better about themselves. I mean,
right.
No,
because
this
condition is more prevalent in this country than you know. And like I said, people find ways to hide it. They find ways, because we all compensate for what we're not good in. We have other ways of covering things up. People who are dyslexic, who really don't want to come forward and tell you about it, they find ways to hide it. You may, my grandfather could not read. He could sign his name, But he did not have a formal education because he was part of World War One. He was very guarded about how he handled people. And I think about him now, and I know part of it because I'm older now, and I've seen things are so open now. I'm sure he was embarrassed because he could not read. But years ago, you didn't talk about things like this years ago. It was secretive. You got a job. You may have had a manual labor job where reading was not required. It just needed manual labor where you worked with your hands, your back, and your legs until you could not work anymore. Nobody cared whether you could read or not, and you really didn't care because you didn't need to. But we're in a different world now where the printed word, social media, you have to have some type of literacy, and that's what I push too. I am a proponent of early literacy. Start early. If something's going on wrong, get your baby tested early. Find out what your child needs, because there's some program out there that can help your baby be stronger. There's always something out there. There's so many resources, but like you say, if you don't know how to get to the resources, you cannot get help. You cannot get help. But dyslexia is more common than you think. You'd be surprised. You would be surprised.
And you done put Mrs. Sabrina, the detective, on this one, because I want to know now, because this is what my show is about. It's about educating, and I did not know that. Wow, Dr. Linda, thank you. I knew dyslexia was a problem, but to know that big-time stars, wow.
Oh, yeah. If you do a Google search and type in movie stars with dyslexia, you'd be surprised at the names that pop up. And they will tell you, I know a few words, but I have a tutor, I have two or three personal assistants, and they help me get through my role. You would be surprised. It is more common than you think.
I dedicated
my book to the Community Food Bank here in Fort Worth, because that's my favorite social agency. And I also dedicated it to the International Dyslexia Association. So, Sabrina, when you have some time next week, do a search for the International Dyslexia Association. It has a whole website of resources for people who have trouble with the printed word. And I will tell anybody, if you even have an adult now who loves to read or would like to read and they can't, take them to the library and get some books on tape. You don't have to suffer through this anymore. There are books on tape. And my eyesight has gotten to the point, because I've worked with my eyes for so long now, I have pulled away from reading long, lengthy books. If they're audio books, I know they're more expensive. I try to go to an audio book now. It's not as pressing as it used to be, but the stigma is still, it's like the stigma of mental illness. We pull away from it. We throw it up under the table. We don't want to talk about it, but I'm sorry, it's there. It's part of life. I have it in my family. Everybody has it. You can't get away from it. That's like saying no one in my family has ever had cancer. Everyone I know has a family member or a distant family relative who has had cancer. Somewhere in your family, this condition exists, but nobody talks about it because they have had ways of taking care of it, of covering it up. But you'd be surprised how many people cannot read in this country.
You are a wise woman, and I'm going to go back to what you just said a second ago about mental illness, and I would love for you to come back on the show and talk with us, because it's starting in July, and going for the rest of the year, I'm dedicating 2 days a week to go through talking about mental illness, what people can do, where to seek help, and the different types of mental illness. The most prevalent ones right now that we know, which can lead to suicide, but suicide is just a factor of depression, of anxiety, of PTSD. It's like the final step. So we're going to talk about suicide, but before we do that, we have to talk about some of the main key ones. And then sometimes there's schizophrenia, and people really, you talk about that, people don't really want to talk about that, because that's
the stigma. We in this country, we sweep And this country has the largest caseload of mental illness, of mentally ill people in the world. Yep. Western culture. And we'll, you know, and I'll be glad to come back on this show. Like I said, I taught special ed for you. I taught kids who were bipolar. I taught kids who were schizophrenic. I taught kids who were mentally challenged. At one time, I was the crisis intervention teacher in my school district. So I walked into situations that were rough and tough. We have kids now who are mentally ill, and they are completely out of control in kindergarten, first, and second grade. It's already there. You can see it. Some of the parents deal with it the way they should. Some of them like, oh, well, you know, he's just having a bad day. No, he's not. Your baby is sick. Your baby is sick. He's not having a temper tantrum. There's something else going on with your kid. And we have it. We have mental illness is something, like I said, it's like dyslexia. Nobody really wants to deal with it, and they cover it up. And some families, it's a family history of it. In most cases, and I'm already getting away from this, in most cases, if someone is bipolar, someone preceding them is also bipolar. It's either a mother, a father, a grandparent, or a grandmother or a grandfather. Bipolar does not show up in isolation. If I have it, somebody before me also had it. It's just a fact of life.
No, and I know, and you're absolutely right. My mom had depression. Now, we'll never know if my dad had depression because he never would test for anything, but I know my mom had it, and I know up until 26 years old, when I was losing all my friends, I came to terms with, you need to get help for this because it's not them, it's you. It's not a bad thing, but you need to get help because you're catapulting your life, mm-hmm. going up and down and up and down, and everybody knows, and everybody who listens to my shows now knows that I have clinical depression, but I take medication, I eat right, mm-hmm. I exercise, I talk to people, and I also, there's times where when people, the best thing I can tell people, and I'm going to do, this will be part of the series, some people, I don't go to therapy anymore, not unless it's when I was working for the county, I always did. Because of things I saw. But when I, on the regular, everyday world, when I went to counseling, I end up with a counselor who talked to me about their problems because they said, you know your answers, you just have to be willing to implement them. So for me, mm-hmm. you hit on this mm-hmm. at the very beginning of the show, I use driving. It's more therapeutic for me than anything. I put on my mm-hmm. music, I drive, I take my notebook, I'll pull over and stop and say, okay, I need to do this. Okay, I need to do that. Because I'm one of the people who I can actually, as long as I'm really in tune to myself, I know mm-hmm. what I need to do. Sometimes implementing it is a whole other thing. So I tell people,
Sabrina, I said, I taught for years. I'm going to tell you this. There are days when the Depakote and the lithium do not work. You need to, if you got to take it, but you need to also do some more things for yourself. Am I making mm-hmm. sense?
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah,
Depakote is powerful. That's a whole nother session with you. The Depakote and the lithium, and then you got to be tested for the liver damage. But I tell people, you do what you have to do, but you also need a support group around you. You also need to go to counseling, and you need to find some therapeutic things for yourself to do. And I'm going to stop here because you and I get off into another show. So
you know what?
We're going to another show. But
after
it's the truth.
Show,
it's
I'm
the truth.
Text you because you need to come back on because you know what? And we know Monday's mm-hmm. a good day for you because you know what? In July, we really are going to really get into that. And I know people, a lot of people like, well, you shouldn't touch on that or you shouldn't talk about it. But you know what?
If you don't
talking about it, and especially for the African American community and the Hispanic and the Oriental, we deny that there's any mental illness. We just deny it.
There's a cultural stigma. There's a cultural stigma that goes along with it too. That's why. There's a religious piece that goes with it too. But we'll wait until July and we'll talk about it. But it's all in the mix.
But you know what? Today I enjoyed you being on the show. I thank you because you know what? I was able to express. I have to tell people, sometimes you have to be really honest and express when you're not happy.
That's right.
Just for the moment. because you know what? I was like, oh my God. And then, and you know what? Because sometimes you do that because it's keeping it real. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
You're being vulnerable. I understand. But you're also mm-hmm. saying, hey, my feelings are valid right now, and I need to be heard.
And you know what you're doing, Sabrina? Sometimes what you're doing, you're speaking what everybody else is feeling. That's it.
Yes.
You start talking, and you are actually speaking. Someone else is feeling the same way. They just haven't said anything about it today. They got up with it on their minds this morning, and this evening you're speaking to it. So it's not a secret. It's the truth.
You
said what needed to be heard. Somebody else needed to hear you talking to me about it. And I needed to hear it coming from you. It's the same. Well, basically, all people basically have the same problems. Basically.
And you know what's funny is that I've gotten people messaging me lately about, you really do say things I'm thinking, oh, my God, I can't believe you talked about that, but that was awesome. And I'm thinking, I know people are, just like you said, they're thinking this, but they don't want to say it because we all want
no.
to be corrected. We don't want to. You know, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but the thing is, me doing the Rolling with the Diva has been, I know it's different for everybody, but my
right.
show is really talking about the things that people don't want to talk about. At the same time,
right.
interviewing book authors like yourself or talking about hair or other things, but the real keeping it real thing, that's me. That's why I want to keep it real so people understand that it's okay. It's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to have
that's right.
to question some things and you don't understand them, or it's okay to, you know, like with your, if you're a child or you're an adult and
mm-hmm.
you don't think your daughter's okay, to get help for them or to go back like Maxine did with her mom. I think there's something wrong with our neighbor, and the parents is encouraging them to help.
Right.
But you know what? Taking a part of being a part of the community is what's going to help people. And if you guys got anything out of today, today is about everybody reaching out. I reached out. Maybe you guys didn't see that, and maybe I didn't see it until now, but I reached out, and I said that because for some reason, and I know that because I've talked to, like I said, I've known Dr. Linda for a long time. She's the person that I am comfortable with, even if we're on the radio, saying my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So
right,
you guys
right.
are fine. You have to feel okay to do that, but you need to do it because if you don't, it will eat you up, and you don't want
to
be – and you don't want to be that angry person getting angry at everybody and blow up, and then they'll say, oh, my God, you have an anger problem. Where it's not the anger
mm-hmm.
problem. You're just frustrated. So we do
or you
need
blow
to
up, or you blow up unexpectedly. And everybody's saying, well, what's wrong with her? Where did that come from? Well, it's been with you all the time. You know how we sit on things, Sabrina, and we sit and
yeah.
sit, and all of a sudden one day we just blow. We just blow. And after you blow up and settle down, you're okay. But you needed to release it. You needed to release it.
And for some people, though, sometimes, because I've had these situations where my coworkers were pissing me off at work and I blew up, and then I'm in employee counseling because I didn't
mm-hmm.
I respond, I reacted. So that's why you have to learn, like Dr. Linda said in the very beginning, you have to deal with this, and you have to learn
that's
to deal
right.
with the situation. Because otherwise, sometimes you will be at work, and you're the nicest person, but you know at work, if you blow
mm-hmm.
up, you're going to employee
right.
assistance because you need counseling, and you're going to be in 6 anger management classes like I was one time because I told
that's
my coworker
right.
to stop making fun of me, and one day I blew up instead of going to my boss because I was trying to be
mm-hmm.
a nice person, but this went on for 3 years. Now, my coworker had to go to counseling, too, on learning not to harass people, but I ended up in the anger management classes, and I wasn't angry.
And see, if that person was making fun of you, basically that person was a bully. When a person stays on you constantly, making you uncomfortable, and they know you're uncomfortable, that person is a bully. She needed to go. She needed to go.
At work, I'm going to tell you, people don't understand, and that's a whole nother. We're going to have Dr. Linda on a lot because that's a whole nother series of bullying, and people don't understand this. About 4 months ago, I had to totally stop playing war games because adults do bully, and adults can be bigger bullies than kids. I mean, not just
we talked about that one day on our radio show here in Texas. We said adults sometimes, if they're not stopped in childhood, when they get to be older and they have jobs, they sometimes will bully. They don't even realize they're doing it because they've been doing it all their lives, and they were never stopped. Nobody stopped them. They just let them run with it. You can't do that. You got to stop it early. it will actually blend over into a job. It will bleed over into a job. And you're acting like you're always making fun of another coworker. You're laughing. You make them like, you know, the whipping boy of the job. You don't do that to a person. What you're doing, you're beating that person's spirit down. You don't do that. You don't do that.
And I know this coworker was constantly, because I do limp and I've always limped, and this is not about my hip I'm having surgery on. A lot of people don't know that I had to have, I've always had arthritic bad hips, and I always limp. And she would just always say, here comes Limpy. Oh, look at her dragging her leg. And I'm like, really? After?
Oh, no, no. She knew, that's too much. That's too much. You don't do that.
And my boss, and everybody would be laughing, and I would just be looking. I was like, and finally, one day I just blew up. I was like, I can't take this anymore. You need to stop this. This is rude. This is crude. And stop it. This is just being mean to me. How many times does one person have to tell you they don't like when you do that? Because I would go to her in private. I don't like that you do that to me. I would appreciate it. Oh, okay. You're just being sensitive. I'm not being sensitive. You're being sensitive.
No, you don't do that.
And so she had
never been stopped, and so she thought it was okay. It's not okay. It's not okay to kill someone's spirit. It's just not good. It's not good.
No, and bullying happens in adults too. And you know what?
Oh yes, big time.
And I went to other adults who bullied me, and then later on they've come back and said they're sorry, and can I be your friend? I was like, I forgive you. I've already forgiven you. I accept you're sorry, but I can't be your friend because you took things too far as an adult. And you need to deal with your own self. And so that's a whole other topic we'll talk about in the future. You can forgive people, but you don't always need to go back to that circle of life, because you know what? You need to move on and grow. And sometimes with those people who do things to you like that are not okay. Well,
it's not okay.
With Dr. Linda. And Dr. Linda, thank you so much. She's the author of Stations. And Maxine's got a new job, and we just thank you for reading a lot of her book here on the air with Rolling with the Diva and sharing her wisdom. We learned a lot today. We learned about, you know, taking time to reach out to other people, not trying to stay in your own little corner of the world, because if we all reach out and touch one, that's going to ripple effect to another person. Because if somebody has this dyslexia and you're helping them read, think about how they're going to feel, and they're going to go help somebody else. And think about how you're helping them improve their overall life and their whole other self-esteem. Because it has to be demeaning, it has to be depressing, not to be able to really on a level read and hear and see what other people are saying. Because it's a part of a way you're trying to see that. So you need to understand that reaching one is touching a lot, and we need to be caring and reaching more people and be willing to make a difference in life, not
yes,
just talk
we do.
About a problem,
yes, we do.
But also reaching out. And Dr. Linda, you have given me some great topics to talk about on the air, more about dyslexia, more about catching your child early for reading and making sure. And you know what? I appreciate it, and I love you for it, and I thank you for coming on. Tell everybody before we go where they can find you.
Okay, you can find, if you go on Facebook, just type in Stations for Kids, and I will, that's my fan page. It'll just pop up. I'm on, my website is www.lindamubarak.com, Linda with a Y, LyndaMubarak.com. And if you want to email me, you can email me at ljmubarak@gmail.com. But just go to Stations for Kids on Facebook, and that's my fan page for my four books. And I am just so happy that you thought about me. I am just happy to be here. And I'm looking forward to coming back in next month so we can talk about all of those mental health topics.
I'm being seriously. We're going to have mental health topics. And you know what? We can actually, you know, I really love that, because you know what? I think that people sometimes think that radio show hosts can't come on each other's show and talk, but we can because we care about you guys, and we want what's best for you guys. And the radio stations that share and come on to each other are the radio stations that are saying, you know what, this is not about a competition, because you know what God has for me, He has for me, but we want the world to know that we care about you. That's why Dr. Yes. Linda has a show, That's why I have a show, and that's why I bring everybody on. I was just blessed. Dr. Linda, check this out. I reached out on Instagram and asked one of the biggest bishops of a Colorado church to can I interview with them. Today they're going to come. They got back with me, and he said yes.
All right. All right. That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Because you know what? We want you guys to be fed in all possible ways. So, Dr. Mm-hmm. Linda, thank you for coming on with Rolling with the Diva. I really appreciate you. And you know what? Oh, I do have to tell you. The olive oil helped my hair.
Oh, I told you. Old school.
Oh, my God.
Old
school. Oh, my God.
And you can also clean your face. You can also clean your face with it. Years ago, my grandmother cleaned her face with olive oil. You can, for at night when you take off your makeup or whatever during the day, use olive oil. It works. And it's a moisturizer. Wonderful moisturizer.
Hold on, before we go, we have a caller on the line, 972-897. Hello, I apologize I didn't see you earlier. I apologize, I was on a different screen. How are you? Hello.
Hello. Yes, I hope you're talking. I think that was my first number. But my name is Vera Harris, and I enjoy watching the interview with Dr. Linda.
Yes.
Hey.
Yes.
Vera is Vera, and then Vera knows what I'm about to say. I know that Sabrina's about to go off, but Vera is in our Arthur's group, and she is a retired Army Command Sergeant Major, 30 years. 30 year service. And now she's an author. She's a children's author.
So, Ms. Yes. Vera, you're gonna interview you too, right?
Yes, you're gonna interview Vera. Her name is Vera Harris, and she's gonna call you back. I'm gonna give her your information because I know we gotta leave the air in a few minutes. But you need to interview retired Command Sergeant Major Vera Harris because she's written 4 children's books also.
Well, you know what? Because I just want, okay, I'm a little bit in tears right now. I want to thank you first. I'm sorry. Thank you so much, Ms. Vera, for. Look, I know, I'm so emotional. I'm a Cancer, people. I'm born in July. Stop it. I want to first thank you for serving our country. You're amazing. You're awesome. Freedom is not free. I've been out of the United States. So for all those people thinking that the United States is being mean, freedom is not free. And you guys need to, like, really, really pay homage to our military. Second of all,
Thank you. I enjoyed the interview. I really enjoyed the interview. I was because I didn't want to miss it. I had to program my clock to listen. Very good.
Well, before we go, tell everybody a little bit about your latest children's book because I'm happy you came on, and so they'll know what they're going to be looking forward to. Go ahead, share.
Oh, okay. Well, my name is
Vera. Go ahead, Vera, because while you're doing that, I'm going to be sending her your information, okay? So I'm typing while you talk. Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, my name is Vera Harris. I'm a children's book author, like Dr. Linda said. My latest book is called Monica and Monique Travels the World. You can find my books on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, or my fan page on Facebook.
All right. Well, Ms. Vera, thank you so much. I apologize. Like I said, I was on a different screen. I didn't see your call because I would have brought you in earlier because I know you have a lot of wisdom. And please, also, if you know the military, so if there's something you want us to know about the military as far as, like, you know, that a lot of people are, you know, from PTSD or you have that impact and you can offer us, please come on those shows because we are here to let people know. And let me be honest when I tell people, I do suffer from depression, but I just recently got diagnosed with PTSD from excessive trauma that has happened over the last 20 years. And I'm now dealing with that and not thinking that I had something wrong with me every time somebody walked up behind me. Because I would scream like I was in a scary movie and somebody would just tap me. And finally, it's like it's a trauma that has went on. But I'm dealing with that now. But I want people to know that whatever mental illness that you have, you're not your mental illness. It's something that can be helped. So know that there's a difference.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm honored.
Sabrina, Sabrina, I know you got to go, but let's see about getting Vera on with the show for the shows that we're going to do in July on mental illness. Since she is a combat a veteran, she can speak to that too, okay? Make her part of that program.
I definitely will, and I'm so excited. I'm just excited because, you know what? A woman that was in the military and has served is on my show talking right now. I love the military. I love the military. Oh, my God. I'm just in love with the military. Because I have been outside of this country, and people don't understand that freedom is not free. And I have been a missionary, and I've seen this for the first hand. So people act like we are the military. No, the military, I'm telling you, if I was in the military and the baddest people be acting like I'm not protecting you, but you guys left your house every day knowing this could be your last day on earth to serve
people
who are undeserving. And I'm so grateful for that because I think it's like Jesus got on the cross for us sins. He knew what was coming, and he said, I'm still going to die for them. It's a military same thing. I'm still going to die for you even though you're not grateful because you're more important to me. So, ma'am, I adore you. I respect you, and I love you. Oh, my gosh.
Just and she's coming back with us. Now, she's going to have another. She's going to, Vera's going to do her own interview with you, and then we're going to still do the situation together next month, right? We'll do it like that?
What we should do is we'll all get on the three on the phone together so we can all coordinate. But this is the Rolling with the Diva with Dr. Linda and our excellent, excellent new friend, Mrs. Vera. And actually, you guys should hail to the Army and hail to the Navy and everybody because she has served the military protecting your happy butts. So you guys know me. When you complain about the military, we should ship you out to somewhere, to a foreign country, and let you stay there for a month and then see what you have to say and come back to us. Because you
That's
free,
true.
Ain't free. I'm telling you right now, I know people are like, oh, my God, Sabrina, we're going to get you. But I'm telling you, freedom ain't free, people. Dr. Linda, is there
okay, I know you got to go. They're gonna cut us off anywhere if you don't stop. You know they're going to do it, Sabrina.
We appreciate you guys. Have a great, great week, and I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. All righty. Bye-bye. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.